Welcome to PodMed, hosted on November 15th, 2013. That's the weekly look at the medical headlines from Johns Hopkins. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Rick Lang, professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins and vice chairman of medicine at the University of Texas in San Antonio. Elizabeth, for our listeners, we're going to call this our anniversary edition, and I'll let you introduce it.
Well, it turns out that we've actually just celebrated 8 years of doing this podcast weekly, which is a remarkable achievement, especially these days as media change so much.
And I'll say 8 uninterrupted years. That's that we've recorded pretty much every week, regardless of whether there's a holiday going on and regardless whether I've been in the country or out of the country or you've been in it or out of the country. In fact, as we're recording this now, when it actually plays, you'll be in Africa with the School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins. So, Elizabeth, I thought it would be helpful for our listeners that have been faithful listeners for a long time and even those that have recently joined us to get a little history about the podcast. So let's go back 8 years ago and tell me what it was that started this.
So podcasting 8 years ago, of course, was a very new medium. And I always tell a story about a colleague of mine here at Johns Hopkins named Max Bohm. And Max is British. And Max, lo these many years ago, used to take the subway down to as close as he could get to the office and then walk 8 blocks. And he always listened to his iPod while he was doing it. So one day he walked into my office and he said, "I say, Elizabeth, you simply must do this." And I said, "You know, Max, do what? I don't take public transportation. I'm an American." And he said, No, you must podcast, Elizabeth. You must podcast." And so at the time, of course, I had no idea what that was. Almost simultaneously, the New York Times published a piece on podcasting. And since, as you know, I do a daily radio spot that's broadcast internationally for Johns Hopkins, I had abundant radio experience. I said, "You know, this really does seem like a good idea." And then I went through all of the faculty here I thought would be really good partners for this, and I chose you.
So, Elizabeth, is it fair to say this was the very first medical podcast?
I'm not sure if it was the very first, but we certainly got out of the gate really quickly. And we got some attention from traditional media, too, when we did it.
So, Elizabeth, I have to admit, when you approached me about doing this, first of all, I had no idea we'd be partnering for 8 years. And it has been a wonderful partnership. And I had no idea what podcasting was either. So it was a leap of faith on my part.
And of course, now when we reflect on the reach of the podcast, it's truly remarkable. As you know, and some of our listeners know, we've conducted a couple listenership surveys and found out that, in fact, we have a very, very abundant audience internationally as well as nationally.
So we initially targeted the healthcare providers, but many of our listeners are healthcare consumers as well. They're from around the world. There are many medical schools around the world that use this in a part of their curriculum, both to teach medical English and to keep individuals up with the latest data. One of the fun parts for me has been having our listeners write to us. We've had some very faithful listeners. Tom, for example, our Canadian veterinarian, who he and his students listen to us, and every week he lets us know that it was posted correctly and gives us some insight about what he learned. So it's been great to partner with people like Tom. And we've heard from people from around the world throughout the years, and that's been very gratifying. For people that don't realize, why don't you go through how the podcast comes about? So give an idea of what happens throughout the week.
You, of course, already know the answer to that question. But since in my capacity of doing this daily radio spot, I look at the breaking medical news all the time. And also, we both have embargoed material. During the course of the week, we routinely take a look at that and then ultimately try to run the filter of, and I'm going to ask you to describe your filter too, of impact and do we really believe it and have we talked about this recently. So, for example, many listeners know that if I have to say one more thing about PSA, I'm going to slit my throat. And then we get together and we say, which ones do you like? And then we just decide that those are the ones we're going to talk about. Let's hear about your filter.
I agree. We only cover the current data, or we only cover current studies. Even though our listeners say, "Gosh, I'd like to hear more about a certain topic," if it isn't a study that's been done that week, we actually don't cover it. We scan the major medical journals. Our listeners should be aware that this is totally unscripted. For example, this morning I presented you with the 4 studies I wanted to talk about, and we had not talked about them. So it's really a conversation, and our listeners get to listen to our firsthand conversation. You don't tell me the questions beforehand. You don't know what the responses are going to be. They get to hear it just as we provide it.
I think we also need to give kudos to the institution, of course, because nobody tells us that we have to take a certain posture on any study. And we are free to pick whatever studies we think are important, and we're free to pan those, which we frequently do.
So kudos to the leadership at Hopkins that has allowed us the freedom to do this, and to the Division of Cardiology at Hopkins that have allowed me to retain my professorship as well so that we can continue this. One of the things that we've been very careful about is not to have mission creep. There are many things you and I would like to editorialize about that bother us about healthcare or bother us about particular studies or the treatments, but we stay steadfast and only reporting on the studies that are done that week. That's been very unusual to do over an 8-year period.
Although I will admit to my frustration when I would like to talk about some of those issues that come over the transom. And so, for example, just last week, there was a report in the New York Times about physicians offering credit to their patients. And I ended up getting somebody in the Bioethics Institute here to talk about that, because I think it's a really important thing for people to be aware of.
And I put the kibosh on it because it doesn't belong on our podcast. So I enjoy the interaction.
Well, clearly the interaction is something that people who do write to us all the time say, wow, we really like that. It's not dry. It's not didactic. It's not boring. And the two of you clearly have opinions, although we have heard the flip side, which is, I don't really want to hear where you are in the world. I don't want to hear you're on your bicycle. I just want to hear what your take is on the news. So for those folks who don't like that, we apologize.
So Elizabeth, what's been the most gratifying part of the podcast for you?
I guess I would have to say that I really love to hear from listeners who reflect those very sentiments I just identified, who say, I am so grateful that I can come every week and listen to this 10 minutes and in a way that's not boring or tedious, be up to date and have some idea of what to really think about these studies. I just think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I would echo that as well. I also appreciate the fact that we try to be scientifically honest and very precise and accurate in what we can say. And over the course of 8 years, that's over 400 podcasts. We have very seldom ever received a comment from a listener saying, gosh, you made a mistake or you misstated that. When that's pointed out, however, we're quick to come on the next podcast and to correct that. We want this to be scientifically sound and accurate. We want our listeners to be able to take it to the bank.
Indeed. I'm not sure that we have anything else to add this week, do we, except to say happy anniversary, and we'll look forward to many more years of podcasting together. At least that's my fervent hope.
Happy anniversary to you. It's been a great partnership, and I look forward to the next 8 years, Elizabeth.
Excellent. So that's not a look at the medical headlines for this week, but a historical perspective on PodMed. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Rick Lang. Y'all live well.